Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions. Well, maybe.
Perhaps.
Life is a fight. In business, every day is a fight. So, hey, what's your problem?
Thank you, John David Wells. Love that guy. Worked with him for many, many years. Check him out, johndavidwells.com. Thank you so much for doing the voiceover for this particular podcast. This is the What's Your Problem podcast, broadcasting or recording live and recorded from the Big Dot HQ here in Spring Hill, Tennessee, off of Jim Warren Road. This is a podcast about business owners, entrepreneurs, business professionals that, you know, they haven't hit the pinnacle. They haven't, you know, they're not looking back on a career and bragging about how well they've done. This is about real people going through the real stuff right now. And man, talk about a year where some people have just, this has been a trial by fire this year. A lot of people can surely attest. Now, today's guest is a good friend of mine and a seasoned podcast professional whose podcast I produce as well. And I met him through some other avenues and channels that we both have. And he is in a very, very interesting business, especially for the world that we live in. At this particular time. So please welcome to the show. Let me pot that down again. Mr. Brink Fiddler. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Thanks for coming all the way down here and being on the show.
Should have done this yesterday. I was in Columbia yesterday. It would have been a lot more convenient.
But, well, now you know where you are.
You know,
you can feel free to always drop by.
Yeah.
You know, you
can. I'm going to stick a sign out in your yard right on the interstate. That's what I'm going to do.
We've got a sign going up on the building shortly. Yeah. It's out in the warehouse being painted.
Awesome.
So
black with defense systems on it.
We, you know, maybe we should down the road. We should do like a digital sign so we can change stuff.
All right.
So you are the CEO, Chief Bottle Washer of Defend Systems.
Correct.
And if I describe it correctly, it is active shooter mitigation training. Is that the best way to describe what you do?
That's part of what we do.
Part
yeah.
of what you do.
Yeah. In non-COVID times, that's probably 80% of our business.
Right.
But we do security consulting as well on whether we work with a lot of architects on designing new facilities, whether they be commercial or educational. We've worked on several schools,
right,
trying to throw some design things in that help with safety and security. And then VIP residential, and we do some private training either with those clients in their homes once they're done. We consult on all their everything, safe rooms to lighting, fencing, protection dogs, all the above. And then we come back and teach you, how am I exploiting my floor plan, or something goes bump in the middle of the night, what am I doing and why, what am I doing with the kids, that kind of stuff.
You help people empower themselves.
Correct.
To protect themselves.
Absolutely.
Right? That's pretty much, that sums up what you do.
It
in,
is.
In a nutshell. And the other thing that we do together is the Tips, Tactics, and Tools podcast.
Yay.
Brought to you by GodFearingGunOwners.com.
Amen, brother.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
With Mr. Tom Herring.
Yep.
And Herring Technology.
Yep.
So you guys kind of work in concert. You're like joined at the hip.
Right. Yeah. He's the technology piece of what I do, whether it's consulting or training. I mean, inevitably, a good example is the Diocese of Nashville contracted with us to try to go in and train all 19 Catholic schools in the Middle Tennessee Diocese. So as a result of that, or as part of our process, one of the things we do first is we go and meet with school personnel, and we walk the school and take pictures and look at the floor plan and their security. And that's because we customize the training for each location, right? I mean,
yeah,
based on your floor plan, your building materials, et cetera. Well, obviously, as a result of that, we also run into security needs, if you will, of the school. Mm-hmm. But I don't do that. I don't do cameras and access control and all that.
You need somebody who can do it.
I sell knowledge.
Yeah.
So Tom and I got hooked up. A mutual friend of mine that I used to work with at the police department is the security guy over at Christ Presbyterian. Told me about Herring Technology. I looked him up. Thought, I need to get with these guys, and then couldn't get him to call me.
Well, I mean, he doesn't really know who you are, and you know, he probably gets hit up a ton of couple of times a week by somebody soliciting, right?
Yeah. Well, to quote Tom, he said, you know, I just figured you were like every other retired cop that thinks he's a security expert because he's a retired cop. And I get it. But once I got in front of him and told him that I used to kidnap people for a living, then it changed his perspective a little bit.
So is that something common that a lot of retired police officers just automatically pivot and go into something like that? Because the funny thing is, we just had a visit by the Spring Hill PD here the other night. My Tim, who you just met, my business partner in Big Dot, he was here and with a bunch of people. They had both garage bays open, probably 11:30 at night. It was nice of them to come in and find out what's going on. Because we had, you know, kids running across the lawn and stuff like that. So they stopped in to make sure everything was copacetic. Lo and behold, you know, in this day and age, kind of not surprisingly, I get a phone call from one of the cops. And he says, hey, we were there the other night. I said, yeah, my business partner told me to get you guys were here. Thank you for that. Thank you for being here and checking it out. I really do appreciate it. He goes, well, that's the thing is that I was, you know, he had mentioned that you guys might be hiring. And he was ready to get out of the force just to come be an electrician or whatever, you know, whatever we could possibly offer him. I mean, is that something you're seeing more often these days?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The amount of applicants that just my former employer, which is Metro National Police, the amount of applicants they're seeing from that area of the country are through the roof. A lot of those guys are just packing up, moving down here and applying elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is Spring Hill. This is what happened right here in town.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, turn on the news. Would you want to be in law enforcement now? I mean, my exit timing was great.
How long ago was that?
2015.
Okay, not that long ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was time. Yeah. I did a lot of cool stuff. I mean, you know, I was there almost 18 years, and I was with the Drug Task Force, eight of that, and retired as the director from the Drug Task Force. And so I got to go all over the country kicking indoors and chasing bad guys, which was fun, but it's not real conducive to family life. And you never know when you're coming home, once you leave for the day. And
right.
But I learned a lot, and it served me well in this space I'm in now, you know, with the experience I have.
But I mean, aside from a lot of police officers wanting to get out of the force in these, you know, turbulent times, at some point it was just basically, let's retire and go into some sort of security type of position. That's pretty common?
It is. Just people, obviously most police officers have a better understanding of security than most folks just because of what they've seen and what they've done.
Right.
But to Tom's point, just because you're a retired cop doesn't mean you know crap about security. I mean, it means you know a little bit about things you've seen answering a burglary call or whatever, but it just depends. But I had a good friend who's a lieutenant with the police department saying, you know, I'd leave tomorrow if there's something else I knew I could do and was good at.
Right.
But it just gets in your blood and I don't want to say, you know, one thing, but, you know, it's your whole life and you go through so much training to get to where you are just for your career that that's where they feel comfortable. You know, I mean, when I started this company, I needed a paycheck, right? I was leaving law enforcement. I wasn't drawing my pension yet because I didn't want to take the penalty. And so I went to work for a friend of mine who's a custom home builder. Mm-hmm. Actually, I met him because he built my home. And I did a lot of things in my home that I do now for our clients, but that was uncomfortable for me, very, because it
was completely unfamiliar.
Well, and it wasn't law enforcement or security related where I am comfortable. Just did that for a short time, and he knew it was a short time because I was going to build this company, and he was nice enough to
kind of placate you or your carry you in your overlap.
He needed a project manager really bad at the time, and I needed somewhere to get a paycheck while I was building the VIN system, so it worked out well.
Very cool.
And he's still one of my biggest supporters for doing this. So.
Now, with a lot of people that are out there listening, watching this podcast, you know, they're going through it like the rest of us, a lot of unsure times that we're going through at the moment. You know, violence and rioting seems to be on the rise. You know, they're even predicting post-election, whatever the results are, for it to even escalate further. What are some of the things people got to start thinking about at this point for their personal protection, home protection, things of that nature?
Well, I mean, I think most people are. thinking about it. But I've had several friends, close friends, that I would have told you would never, ever, ever have owned a firearm. Mm-hmm. And I have several of them calling, wanting to know which firearm to buy and will I train them? And of course, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And, so the reality is, and the way I make my living is, like you said, empowering people to help themselves. The police aren't going to be there, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, every cop in America wanted to be at, you know, the Burnett Chapel Church of Christ in Antioch, Tennessee, the day that guy showed up, but we're not.
Right.
I mean, that's the reality.
Well, it's a response time.
Exactly. Yeah. So what are you doing in that time frame? And are you empowered with the, not only the tools, but the knowledge to deal with that gap, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Inevitably there's a gap between the time something goes down and the time that help gets there.
Yeah.
And our training fills that gap. That's what we do.
Right.
We fill the gap of that response time. And so I would say people need to be, number one, looking at their home security, right? And then, of course, we've got, I don't know how many episodes on that, on tips, tactics, and tools. So I don't want to go way off on it, but you've heard it all.
I did. But, I mean, it starts with the home.
It does,
I heard you guys say many a time, make your house a hard target.
Yep.
You know, and that means, let me see if I get this correct. That means have good lighting. I might know a company that can help you with that.
Big dot lighting.
And, you know, make sure that there's some sort of alarm notification system. I can't think of the third one. There is a third one that I can't think of right now.
Well,
lighting, alarm.
Yeah, and reinforcing, you know,
your windows and your doors.
Your locks.
And stuff,
right? Yeah, with more than just, you know, your deadbolt. I can kick in just about any door with a deadbolt. I mean, it's not that difficult.
Right.
And there's some easy, affordable solutions, if you will, to that end. Bad guys don't come in through windows, really, hardly ever. And if they want to get in through a window, they're just going to break it and come in. So there's not, I mean, you can do a security laminate on your glass. It's a little expensive, but it'll keep them from coming through there.
Yeah.
But the doors, even, you know, obviously we talked off there about Haven lock. I'm a big fan of that lock. I've personally tested it.
Yeah.
You are not going to defeat that lock.
If you're listening to this or watching this, go to havenlock.com, I would imagine, is the website. It's basically like a tongue that comes up on the threshold of the door and holds the bottom of the door, and you're not getting, unless the door breaks, you're not getting past it.
Well, I don't know anybody can break a door with their foot, you know?
Yeah, but by that time, if you're home, you're going to be armed and ready to anticipate whatever's coming through. And I would imagine if you have a Haven lock, you probably got other security parameters in place as well.
Probably. But the other thing is those security bars that just have a plastic kind of U-shaped hook on one end and then a rubber foot on the other end, and they go under your door handle. Those are really effective. Effective.
Even just talking about like a wedge of wood can make a big difference, or a 2x4.
Yeah, if you stretch a 2x4, well, I mean, across the floor from the threshold of your door to the far baseboard, right, and just cut it to length.
Yeah. They're not getting in.
The same principle that the Haven lock's based on.
Yeah. Unless they get like a coat hanger and try and move it out of the way or something.
They got to know it's there.
That's true. That's true.
So
that's a big surprise.
Right.
For anybody trying to get in.
But, I think beyond that, you need to be prepared to defend yourself and your family.
And the thing is that what we talked about on tips, tactics, and tools is the notion that some of these, you know, I guess you would say nefarious Antifa types are moving out to the suburbs. They're not just permeating throughout the cities. They're starting to spread out. And we're starting to see, you know, evidence of that, and brazenly at that. Isn't that the case?
It is, and it's not just that. I mean, just the spike in juvenile crime we've been having. We've kind of quelled it in the Middle Tennessee area for a little while. But I was talking to a friend who works in Montgomery County Sheriff's Department yesterday in Clarksville. They're seeing a big rise in it, and it's, your formerly regular run-of-the-mill criminals who are breaking into cars are now armed and shooting at people to come out and confront them. So same, not just Antifa idiots, right? I mean, not that the civil unrest is not enough to deal with. Now you've got this generation, for whatever reason, of property crime people who are now going armed, and there's just a lot of reasons. I mean, I hear people say, well, I'm not comfortable with a firearm. Okay, I can get you comfortable. I hear people say, I'm not sure I can shoot somebody. And I'll say, put your children behind you and tell me that somebody, you can, yes, you can. I mean, yeah. A lot of people don't want to wrap their brain around it, but you need to. I wouldn't be able to live with myself if a bad guy showed up at my house with a gun and all I had was a baseball bat.
Right.
And something happened to my family.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But I mean, once they actually, you know, moving into the other aspect of this, what we're talking about, there's like two phases. You're making your house a hard target. Mm-hmm. And then once they cross the threshold, then what? You have an alarm system that's going off. And the best thing that you can do, I mean, typically if it's at night, I remember you guys saying that, you know, what the bad guys have is the advantage of adrenaline and awareness and not being sleepy or drowsy, because all of a sudden you're knocked out of a stupor, you know, and you're trying to get your bearings and everything like that. So you come in and you train things like, if somebody wanted to bring you in, you would actually be able to train things like egress, proper routes and what to do in case this kind of thing happens. Okay, kids, here's where you go run and hide, and or what to do, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And once the alarm is sounding.
Well, and we identify those places and help you maybe even harden those places. And it depends on the age of your children, too. I mean, different families have different needs. You know, I'm a really good example of that. My 10-year-old son is autistic and nonverbal. So I have to constantly balance with him any kind of emergency action plan for our home, right? Because he doesn't understand what's going on and you can't really tell him. And I have to balance my need for firearms access with him also.
Right.
So every family's unique. We have some clients that are, you know, just average Joe that want to be safer. We got high net worth individuals. We've got clients that are high value kidnap targets. We've got country artists. We've got, you name it. We just kind of cater it to you. Mm-hmm. But the techniques and the tactics we teach, it doesn't matter who you are, right? I mean,
you can apply them universally.
Correct.
So, I mean, in the case of children, which is a good point, would you encourage, you know, open use and practice with a child at some sort of age that where they get used to and comfortable with a firearm in the house? Because, I mean, you hear about, you know, firearms not being stored correctly. They're not in a safe or anything like that. They come across it. They start playing with it and, you know, disaster happens.
Correct. So, yes, absolutely. They need to be familiar with them. And that's different for every kid as far as age goes, mm-hmm. you know, like what's appropriate and when the parent feels like they're mature enough to start dealing with that. But don't make it like a taboo thing. You know, train them when they're old enough to learn to shoot and take them shooting so that it's not like
they're familiar with it.
Right. And it's not like the shiny new object. I mean, you take them shooting every weekend if they want to, you know, I mean,
make it a family, you know, dad and son, you know, dad, daughter, mommy doing all that kind of thing. Make it a family event.
I would. Yeah. Certainly. Yeah.
So your favorite range is Royal Range.
Oh, hands down. Yeah. Royal Range.
We just did an episode, a couple episodes there a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
For people that don't know, it's in Bellevue. It's the old movie theater that was right there off the interstate at the 196 exit that it flooded back in 2010. So these guys bought it and turned it into a pretty awesome facility. I mean, it's not just, it's got three gun ranges inside. It's got a force on force room to do some munitions.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. You walked me through that with all the different, you know, rooms that you would find in a home. You had a staircase that you could, you know, all the different hiding places that people could anticipate with, I guess, breaching a place or finding a place to, I mean, is that the purpose of that kind of an exercise?
Room clearing. There's just there's an art to room clearing, and it's whether we're doing it, you know, dynamically or slow clear, it just depends on the situation. What I mean by dynamic is what we used to do when we were breaching a structure, executing a search warrant. I mean, we weren't doing that slowly and deliberately, right?
Right.
Speed, surprise, and violence of action, they call it. But either way, no matter what kind of entry you're doing or slow clear you're doing, you need to learn how to do it and what the proper techniques are to be able to clear, you know, hallways and hard corners and stairways and all those things.
Right.
Going up stairwell versus going down and there's a lot to it. And so that particular part of their training out there, you can learn to do that. And then if you mess up, then you get shot.
Yeah. And that's typically what, paintballs that they use at that point? Or?
It's munitions, which is it's soap pellets, really. I mean, the stuff inside is soap, so it won't stain your clothes, but they're going really, really fast, and they hurt really, really bad. And it's just changing out an upper on your firearm, and which primarily what law enforcement trains with. And it's
so getting back to someone breaches your house. All right. Mm-hmm. We got into having a good alarm system, being notified, because once that threshold is crossed, they get past all the initial security and everything. They want in. Now it's game. Now game on. What's the next set of security protocols? And I remember you guys, you said one of the best things you can do is at least have a pistol by the bed to get you to your shotgun. Is that correct?
Pistols are typically, yeah, a lot of people can keep them close. They're easy to store. It just depends on the person. I mean, as far as what your weapon system of choice is, I mean, some people will sleep with a 12 gauge right next to the bed. Some people will have a rifle next to the bed. Some people will have a pistol next to the bed. It's just different for everybody, as you heard Tom and I talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, my preferred weapon of choice is my rifle, right? I mean, it's a carbine rifle, but an AR for people that don't understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just because it's a dominant weapon system, it's a bunch of ammo, and I mean, I'm very comfortable with it. But I've trained with it a lot. You know, it's what I used to use for work. But if somebody breaches your home, then the law in Tennessee assumes a threat of imminent serious bodily injury or death. They don't have to breach your home and then threaten you,
right,
or come after you. Once they're in your home, the law presumes that, and you have the right to protect yourself and your family. And, you know, that's also different for everyone. But most people that I know, if you breach their home,
they get excited.
They're going to kill you. I mean, people I know.
It's game on.
Yeah, I mean, it's your family, you know.
But, I mean, ever since doing this podcast with you guys, I've learned a tremendous amount of stuff. And one of the things that we always talk about that's a great deterrent is the old...
Sure. You love your sound effects.
I know.
Yes, it's a universal sound to hear a shotgun racking.
Yeah.
And it's a devastating weapon. Prior to us deploying rifles as a police department, I mean, I was a point guy, meaning I was first in the door, and I ran a shotgun.
Yeah.
They're great. They're great offensive weapons. Limited round count. If you run buckshot, then you don't want to be taking a headshot. If you run slugs, then you don't want to miss. You know, so they've got some limitations.
Right. But it's like basically coming at them, you know, with a tank in a way. Just you have more of a likelihood of impacting your target with a shotgun, typically.
Yes. Yeah. It depends. In a home, you know, people are like, oh, you can't miss. Well, inside your house, you're not going to be shooting very far, more than likely. So your the pattern of your shot coming out of that thing is not as wide as you think it is in a home, because it's pretty tight quarters. But, you know, you fire a 12 gauge at someone in your home, they're probably going to, even if you don't hit them, I doubt they're going to continue.
Yeah.
Their advancement.
It's a signal for sure.
Yeah.
You know, at least that... That's got to do something.
Everybody knows that sound.
Yeah. That means
you love it on your board over
you
there.
You are ready, because this, you know, you don't want to have to follow it up with, right?
You don't want to have to kill somebody. No. There's a difference in wanting to kill somebody and being willing to kill somebody, right? Yeah. I mean, sure.
So moving on from that, I know in the business world, not only do you have, you are a tremendous entrepreneur. You've got,
you're one to talk.
Well, I mean, you are too. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think we're both kind of in the same realm. We're racing the same race, spinning so many different plates and juggling all these different balls and stuff like that. But you are probably the one person I know that's got as many URLs under your belt than anybody else. I mean, you've got a .com for pretty much every phrase.
I've got a lot, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen you. You're like, whenever someone mentions something on the podcast,
spinning, yeah.
You're like, oh, I gotta go get that.
I Google domains, are cheaper, but yeah, I do own several. A lot of them are strategic, right? I mean, for active shooter stuff and direct people to the site.
I've already bought what's your problem podcast.com, so good. That's taken. Well, you can't have it.
I wouldn't try to get that, but you know, you know, with the training we do, a lot of it's medical, as you know, from talking about other stuff. So, and we also sell medical gear. So I bought don'tbleedout.com, and that's our medical site, right?
Nice.
You know, so it's
I think I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, the other one that's really, you're kind of growing is, in addition to defense systems, is godfearinggunowners.com.
Correct.
Which has got a nice little, you know, call to action, purpose driven, cause driven kind of, feeling behind it.
Got my, ad account with Facebook suspended. So yeah, I gotta figure out, I gotta know what the rules are as far as which call to action. I mean, I didn't think it was that bad, but anyway,
what did you do?
Nothing. I just put the logo up there and then put, you know, the whole tagline from our website, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Our founding fathers identified this as a right, not a privilege. Just that. But apparently Facebook read that as me encouraging people to go buy guns. Well, yes, I am. But we don't sell guns. But it's your, anyway.
It's your right to do that.
I'm obviously new to Facebook, as you know, because you're the one that convinced me to finally get on there.
Yeah, you know.
But, yeah, so God Fearing Gun Owners is how that came to be. I was trying to come up with a logo or a decal for churches to put on their door that sent the message to anybody that showed up that we allow our congregants to conceal carry. Mm-hmm. That's kind of polarizing, though, because it depends on the church. And so I didn't want it to be too in your face.
Yeah.
So all I did was I came up with a scope reticle from a sniper scope and combined that with a cross and trademarked it. Right. And so that's the central theme. God-fearing gun owners sounds like it sounds in your face.
Right.
But it's not at all. It's just designs around that logo. And shirts and hats and decals and doormats, as you're well aware, you know, this home protected by a God-fearing gun owner. So,
but that was basically, you also have Lord Make Me Faster and Accurate is also one of the products under that website, correct?
Lord Make Me Fast and Accurate.
Yep. Yeah.
And so we actually used to say that on the way to search warrants or takedowns, whatever. We'd be usually blaring Metallica because you're getting amped up to go kidnap somebody that might want to kill you.
Right.
About 10 seconds out, I'd always kill the radio and say, Lord, make us fast and accurate. The van, everybody in the van would say amen. We'd pop the doors and hit the house. Mm-hmm. So it turned out to be a great tagline to go along with that logo and God-fearing gun owner. So we have a patch that a lot of officers like to put on their vest under their uniform or whatever with that on there in the logo. Or we've got a T-shirt with that on the front, Lord, make me fast and accurate. And people like that one a lot too.
And so far, so good with that.
It's getting there. I spent a lot of time, the reason I was in Columbia yesterday, I told you, I spent a lot of time just calling on stores. You know, we don't make as much as most people know in the business world. You don't make near as much wholesaling, but I'm trying to grow the brand.
Right.
I'm trying to get it out there. And the way you do that is get it in stores, you know, because I can't do anything advertising on social media right now. So
even Instagram won't let you get
well, them? It's the same account.
Yeah.
I manages both. I mean, it's getting ready to be fine. But again, I'm trying to grow the brand and it needs to be in stores. So I'm calling on like gun stores, outdoor stores, co-ops, you know, farmer supply stores where like-minded people are.
Yeah.
And trying to get it in there. So, you know, I'm trying to do both. But as you know, I mean, you going off in a realm of the business world that I don't know anything about apparel or apparel business. I mean, I ask people that my sister owns a boutique, so I've leaned on her, but I didn't go to school for business. You know, I went to school for criminology. And so I've just had to learn, much like you.
That's, you know, it's kind of what we do every day. You get in it and surround yourself with people who know better than you.
Yep. Correct.
So I got to ask, what's your problem, Brink Fiddler?
I was wondering if that was ever coming. That's coming, the name of the podcast.
It is the name. But we kind of talk about you a little bit, get the audience, you know, knowing you and all that good stuff. And
sure.
So what's your problem? What is your problem?
Well, pre-COVID, the problem I had was there was only one me, because we were growing so fast with the training. And then COVID, I was real close to hiring somebody full time. And so I'm very thankful I didn't, obviously. So during COVID, our problem is that our training requires people to gather in groups for us to train them.
Right.
Although we've made adjustments where we can still do it. You can social distance. If you have a big enough space, you guys can spread out. It's all lecture based. But it's all based on real events and, you know, I study the daylights out of these active shooter events and the video and the footage, and I talk to the agencies and I try and learn what worked, what didn't. And so I've crafted my own curriculum around that. So I need to get back to where people can gather in groups.
Because it's so tactile. You need to be in person to really get the full experience of it, right?
It's more impactful in person. We do have it on video.
Right.
You go to our website on the right in the middle of the homepage. It says online training. We did it TED Talk style because that's the training style. So right. It's not some boring voiceover PowerPoint that nobody wants to watch anyway.
Right.
So we've got it on video.
I mean, the PowerPoints are entertaining and informative. I mean, they're not all that bad sometimes.
No, I'm talking about the videos, the voiceover PowerPoint videos.
Right. Okay. I got you.
For video training. Yeah. I use PowerPoint in my presentation.
Right.
But I'm talking about, especially the law enforcement folks know what a voiceover PowerPoint video is. It's just not engaging.
Right.
So we did it TED Talk style. It's engaging. You feel like you're there. And we did the same with the medical. So we got our bleeding control on video too. I mean, it's 45-minute training where you learn to save somebody's life. I mean,
so it's kind of one of these things where you have an amazing opportunity to grow your business with everything that's going on. You know, we've had all the protests that turned into riots earlier in the year that are still happening because I think Philadelphia is erupting right now as we speak.
It is.
You have this opportunity to really kind of expand your business and do what you do, but you can't do it because the other side of the coin is COVID has everything shut down.
Right. Of course, we do. I'm trying to grow the consulting side right now. I didn't push on the gas on that a lot before because the training was so busy. The consulting stuff was just kind of aside.
And consulting is more one-to-one.
Yeah.
In a way.
But it's a longer-term process or, you know, commitment. I mean, the one house I'm working on now, I've been involved with for close to 2 years. And I met another builder yesterday at a monster project in Brentwood that's going to take a long time. And so that kind of stuff I can still do because it's smaller groups. But but yes, where the potential for violence and danger and attacks and things like that are on the rise, and therefore there's a real need for what I provide, it's, you know, COVID is kind of put a damper on it. And even doing it in a COVID-friendly manner, getting people to even think about training right now when the news cycle is dominated by politics, protests, and pandemics, they can't think about anything else.
I like that, the three P's.
But it is. They can't think about anything else right now.
Right.
But a lot of them want the individual training, you know, that we're doing. I had a guy the other day who said he showed up, he wanted to do a private training, and he showed up and said, I fired a handgun one time 10 years ago in a cornfield, and I'm a 1 on my comfort level. I said, no problem. I spent 3.5 hours with him, and he said, I'm leaving here a 10, and I'm going to buy a Glock and a rifle.
Nice.
It's a good day, right?
That'll work.
That makes you feel good about what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. So if I understand you correctly, your problem is just trying to pivot.
COVID is my problem.
Well, it's everybody's problem. I mean, it's, you know, it's been a friggin' nightmare.
Yeah, and yeah, you love that word pivot like the media does. You're trying to,
that's what we have to do.
Expand product offerings, expand services, which we're doing. We do some law enforcement training. We're doing a 16-hour medical course for all the campus cops and safety people for all this campuses under Tennessee Board of Regents. So, you know, law enforcement training can't stop because of COVID. I mean, they have to keep training no matter what. So that's been helpful too. But yeah, just I'm doing a lot of stuff that's not my first choice, you know, but it's what you do right now, right? Especially if you're a business owner. We're still paying the bills. I mean, how many companies went out of business? I mean,
thousands.
Exactly.
Across the country.
Easily. So I'm thankful, and I can tell you that the way that I've been able to continue to survive is the relationships I've built with people and with clients. And
always.
Yeah. So
I've heard it said that relationships are the new currency.
I couldn't agree more.
So it's the way it's going to go.
Yep.
So in terms of you getting out there and pivoting, sorry for the use of that word, but I mean, you know, virtual training, anything like that, that could be, I mean, I know you have the online training. Is that what it is? Virtual training?
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. Okay. It's virtual training. It's basically what you see in that online training video is the first half of our curriculum anyway.
Yeah.
It's the meat. It's most of what you get, whether we're in person or on video. Mm-hmm. And then in process currently, as you're well aware, is realtor awareness and safety training for real estate agents.
Yeah, because we had you on another one of the podcasts I produced, the Talk of Music City Real Estate. Check those guys out. TalkMusicCity.com. And you did a really insightful piece on how realtors can protect and defend their open houses and look for the different breach points and how to really shore up the defenses of an open house. Because let's face it, that, you know, a lot of stuff can happen in that scenario. Am I right?
Very true. Yeah. And it just comes down to training and knowing what to do.
Right.
I think differently than most people because of what I used to do for a living. So I look at all those things differently. I envision it as the bad guy most of the time because the actions we were taking under non-law enforcement circumstances would be that of a bad guy, right? I mean, kicking in doors and going and grabbing people.
Yeah. Is that kind of like a release for you? It's almost fun to think like that where, okay, how would I actually, what's the challenge here? How do I overcome the challenge and be the bad guy? Is that kind of that role playing fun for you?
Oh yeah, because most people think of, especially in law enforcement, of the ninja suits and smashing windows and battering rams on doors and all that fun stuff. And yes, while we did that, we also being in the narcotics world and doing wiretaps and all this secret squirrel stuff we used to do, we would often have what's called a surreptitious warrant. So in an order from a judge to, for example, give it into a facility like this, and
like our building,
put your building, yeah, right, put a keylogger on your keyboard,
right,
and get out without being detected, or a camera in a warehouse, or right. So when it's your job to defeat every security measure known to man, you look at physical security really differently. And yes, it's fun to me because when I design stuff, I design it around, you know, me. Can I get through it or around it?
Well, that's the thing. Like even after 9/11, I was living in Vegas, and one of the things, I had a buddy of mine, longtime friend of mine, come out to visit several months after the event. And he's like, let's go see the Hoover Dam. All right, let's go out there. And he and I are sitting there overlooking the dam. We crossed it, did the tour and everything. And we're just BSing back and forth. And I said, you know, they thought they were actually going to come and attack the dam, you know, fly a plane into the dam. It's like, you know, you're not going to do anything flying a plane into the dam. You got to get inside the dam in order to really cause some damage. And we're like, you know, how could you actually do that? And so we're sitting there pontificating
right
how you could possibly breach the dam. And I thought, you know, you could probably park a boat maybe a mile up the river here, scuba dive with some C4, go undetected, you know, open up some sort of the intake valves and just pop it in and go back, and it's on a timer and blows out one of the butterfly valves and opens it up and they're done. Everybody downriver, and I'm like, we're sitting there actually figuring it out. I'm surprised we didn't get arrested.
P.S. You would not be able to do that.
Particular time in 01? I don't think they had those kind of security measures in place at that point.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Certainly not now.
Oh, certainly not now. Yeah. No. But I mean, that's how crazy we were. We're sitting here, you know, I'm like, I look back at that going, dude, I'm surprised nobody was listening to us.
Yeah, well, they may have been.
They could have been. Look at these idiots.
You know, figuring out what the threat, that's the other thing. What's the threat, yeah, right? I mean, for our artist clients, a lot of times when I'm designing the system, I'm more concerned with crazy fans,
yeah,
paparazzi, or really most importantly, BS liability claims and extortion. And so we have to design their systems around all that versus a high net worth family that maybe, you know, is a high value kidnap target. Well, that's a whole different ball of wax if I'm designing it for, well, okay, no known threats, but if somebody does show up here, it's probably going to be a group of professionals. That's way different than, you know, the country artist with crazy paparazzi and fans.
And the funny thing is, I've seen some of your work, you know, and I'm not going to mention a name, of course, but I mean, the lengths people will go through to protect them and themselves and their family is stupefying.
Yeah.
You know, and the people we're talking about, they're big, but they're not as big as you think they are.
Yeah.
As you would think they are, you know, even on that level, they're protecting themselves to the nth degree. I mean, fortress type of stuff.
Yeah, and of course, that depends on the client, too. Some people don't don't want all that or don't think they need it. Some clients have had issues that have happened in the past that make them really want to up their game, you know.
Is that kind of keeping up with the Joneses? They hear from their buddies what they've done and, you know.
Yes, some of it.
Use it to my safe
room. My safe room is cooler than yours. You know, I mean,
can I save my safe room? I got to have a studio. I got to be able to record in my safe room. Yeah, I guess you could make a studio into a safe room.
Absolutely, or vice versa.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, no problem.
I mean, you got to have soundproof walls and all that fun stuff. And
well, what's the purpose of your safe room? Is it, you know, a storm room? Is it a safe room? Where is it? I mean, I've got a hold of one set of plans, thankfully early in the process, and where they had designed the safe room was an engineering nightmare. It was not where it needed to be based on, you know, the response that they're going to have when I'm done with them. So we moved it and did a bunch of other stuff and added, I mean, there's a lot. And of course, new construction is the time to do this. I mean, it's so much more affordable than trying to retrofit, but we retrofit too. I mean, you know, that's why I work with Herring a lot.
I would love to put a basement in my house, but I mean, it's probably a $50,000 option.
Yeah.
You know, I got to dig it out and all that crap and shore up all the foundations. And it would be nice to add another 800 square feet to my house.
Sure it would. Well, plus, I always tell people, we can do anything you want to. It just depends on how big a check you want to write.
Yeah.
But we can do anything.
I'm getting
just
there.
Just about.
I'm getting there.
I know.
So the notion of getting back to what the problem is, and you and I have talked about this before.
Sure.
What I think you need to do is really kind of chase the God-fearing gun owners thing like we discussed. And I've always thought that the stickers, getting those stickers out as best as you can to just get them everywhere and be seen is probably the best thing you could possibly do, even if it costs you money. Maybe making it a loss leader where maybe it pays for itself or it's a dollar and whatever a sticker, just getting it out there.
And that's what I've been doing.
Spreading the word.
Giving them away.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to yesterday,
Because it could build your personal brand, you know, because you're the guy. You're the guy who's the expert on all this, and that can drive your personal brand and feed all the other businesses that you do. All you need is one thing, one conversation starter that just takes off.
Well, I went to 11 businesses yesterday calling on them, trying to get that into the stores, and every single place I went into, I left them with a decal.
Right. Leave them with like 20.
Well, I've got...
Leave us with 20. When you leave here.
I've got I don't know if I've got that many with me because I gave out so many last week. I've got a lot more, and I've got more ordered. The other thing I'm going to do, I've got a... there's a company called Twine Graphics that does my shirts.
Right.
They're great. They're out of Franklin. But they also have a retail store in the square in downtown Franklin. And they don't want to get into mixing business with customers. But I asked them the day, I said, can I put some decals for y'all to just give away?
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, for sure.
That's cool.
So, and the site's been live long enough now. If somebody sees that sticker and they Google God-fearing gun owner, or first thing that pops up is the website. So,
right.
I'm working on it. I'm trying to juggle defense systems too, because that's what feeds the family. And,
buddy, you're putting money into Facebook advertising for God-fearing gun owners.
Correct.
You know, just print up stickers and there's your advertising campaign. You know what I mean? That's your money you're already spending. You're writing it off as a advertising on, you know, for your taxes and stuff like that. It's a business expense.
Yep.
Same thing. Just printing up the stickers and just getting them out there.
Yeah.
You know,
I just ordered a whole bunch more. Yeah. So.
But you got to be okay with this giving away.
Oh yeah, and that's why I ordered them for. Yeah. I mean, if I'm in a Walmart or post office and I see somebody with an NRA sticker or what, don't tread on me tag or whatever, I stick one under their windshield wiper. I do that all the time. I mean, by the way, if anybody listening has gotten one, it was from me. So,
well, the cool thing is that Brink also has a God-fearing gun. This house protected by a God-fearing gun owner doormats. That's a great product.
Yeah,
great product.
Well, what I find is, you may be a God-fearing gun owner, but you don't like confrontation. Therefore, you don't want to wear the shirt. And I'm here to tell you, by the way, if you wear one of our shirts into Whole Foods in Green Hills, you may get some comments, which I have.
What kind of comments? Negative or positive?
Yeah, no, negative. Yeah. Nice shirt. And like, oh my God, and whatever. But anyway, what I find is some people feel like, well, maybe it could be controversial. They're really not. I mean, if you go look at the shirts, you'll see what I mean. But
yeah.
But what I find is people, maybe they won't wear that shirt to work or might wear that shirt out. But if you come to their home, they're not worried about, because you're at their home. So the doormats are, you know, I just had to order more of those too. So
you've been warned. You know, I mean, that's the thing, is that you and I talked about, you make it stickers up that say this church protected by, this business protected by, this house protected by, those kinds of stickers, just get them out there, you know, and just pour money into that, you know, screw Facebook. let them, you know.
Well, I need Instagram because it's so image heavy, you know. And so,
but I mean, your natural organic reach, you know, and also making the God fearing gun owners page some sort of a beacon where people can communicate. There's information about, you know, gun ownership and how the laws are changing, and, you know, collaborating with the Tennessee Firearms Association and all those guys.
Yep.
There's a way that you can really kind of create it. You got to build the community that's passionate about, you know. Yeah, I'm, you know, I believe in, I have my faith that's shored up, and I believe in this aspect of it as well.
Yep.
You know, well, beacon of the mind.
There's a lot of God fearing gun owners in this country.
I bet there is.
A lot. Yeah. And so,
you know. Do you have an approximate, you know, any sort of metric on that at all?
I know that there are more guns in this country than people.
Yeah. A lot of people don't like that.
I mean,
but it is what it is.
I understand, and I understand their point of view. But at this point, I mean, that's just a fact. So there are literally more guns in this country than there are people.
Well, man, how can people find you?
Well, defendsystems.com.
Godfearinggunowners.com. Brinkfiddler.com.
I have that, but I don't have it. I don't think I have it directed anywhere.
You just got to point it towards Defense Systems.
You would think.
Your about page.
I don't need
BrinkFiddler.com
with a name like Brink Fiddler. The last thing I need is
it's a great name. Weird enough. It's a total agree. You can't forget it. It's not like John Smith.
That's true. It's, you know? It's unique. But yeah. but anyway, all those emails end up coming to me. So no matter which website you go to, if you fill out a contact form or whatever, then by all means, reach out. We'll see if we can help you. Our clients range from schools to churches to corporations to healthcare to law firms to dentist offices to community centers to
amusement parks,
retirement homes. And
warehouses like ours. So, absolutely. Reach out to Brink. He's a great guy to know. Just to, you know, go have a coffee with him. Well, when you can, I guess. I guess we can still have coffee these days.
Sure.
And, of course, please listen, subscribe, rate, follow the podcast. Go to whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Currently, I have it pointed towards our Facebook page, getting a website in the works off of big.lighting.com/podcast, I believe is what it's going to be. But anyway, whatsyourproblempodcast.com is the place to go to like, follow, and subscribe. Again, I really appreciate you coming down here, Brink. And I appreciate for you guys listening and watching.
Thanks for having me.